Welcome to Author Express. Thanks for checking us out. This is the podcast where you give us 15 minutes of your time and we give you a chance to hear the voice behind the pages and get to know some of your favorite writers in a new light. I'm one of your hosts, Christy Leonard, owner and host of Writers in the Wild Retreats, nonfiction voiceover artist, and president of WFWA. I'm excited to share with you a little about today's guest. Marie Watts, author of the award-winning trilogy Warriors for Equal Rights, brings her life experience as a mother and grandmother, wife, friend, divorcee, employment discrimination investigator, and human resource specialist to explore what matters in life. Her work encompasses 4 novels and 3 nonfiction books, including co-authoring the best-selling textbook Human Relations, 4th edition. Her newest novel, The Tough Trail Home, was released on March 28th. I am so excited to welcome Marie Watts. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you. I am honored to get to interview you. I know we have so much to talk about, so let's jump right in. You ready?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay. So we always start with the same question. Tell me the most interesting thing about where you are from. And it doesn't have to be where you grew up. It could be where you are now. It could be your favorite place. Something interesting about one of the places that you're from.
I am from Muldoon, Texas, where I currently live. And it is the area is the setting for my book. I love it here. I love nature. It's raw, untamed. There's always a different cloud formation in the sky. And for 20 years I've lived here, I've never gotten tired of looking at them.
Oh, that is awesome. So you grew up and went away and then came back?
Oh, no. I grew up in Baytown, Texas.
Okay.
And Muldoon is in central Texas, just a little southeast of Austin.
Okay. Awesome. And I think you're on a ranch, right?
Yes, I have 50 acres.
Which is amazing because your book features a ranch. We'll get to the book in a minute. I want to talk about you. All right. So it's funny that we were talking about where you live because I read somewhere that you dreamed of owning your own island. And the question I have is, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live and why? And does it feature your own island?
Actually, no. If I could live anywhere in the world I wanted to, it would be right where I am now.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
We should all have that, you know, luxury of living where we would love to live. So what is it about where you live now that makes you say that?
You know, I have a magnificent view. I'm up on a kind of a hill. I look over to a big mass of water and then clear sky all the way. You can't see another building, another person. It's just so relaxing. I mean,
probably good for writing.
It's good for writing. I look out the window sometimes. I see turkeys walking by. You know, where else could you do that?
Right, exactly. So a little backup question I like to have in my pocket. What is the best piece of advice anyone has ever given to you? I don't want to stop talking about you. You're very interesting.
I think the best advice is you may be scared when someone asks you to do something, but you do it anyway because it stretches what you think you can do.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, That's absolutely true. So was writing a stretch for you or something that you always wanted to do?
I think I wrote my first book about the space mouse back during the 1960s. I have always wanted to be a writer. And of course, in my career, I did a lot of writing because when I was doing discrimination investigations, I had to write up the investigation. So it was more, I guess, technical writing, but it was telling a story, taking the evidence and putting it into a story.
Right. Yeah, I can see where that would be interesting. And it sounds like a lot of what you write has your experience infused in it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
If it didn't, I wouldn't know what to do.
So I want to ask you to do the impossible, which we ask all of our authors to do, and that is to summarize your book in one sentence.
The book is a story about a family coming to terms with each other and their new lives.
Okay, yeah, that definitely encompasses it. I know next to nothing about ranching, but I was rooting for Lisa and her family the whole time. It's such a great book. And interesting, you have it set in 2008. So I think I've heard you talk about starting to write this book in 2008, and it took you a while to write it. So you want to tell us a little bit about that?
I started, the first thing I can find where I have copies of it is in 2010. So obviously I was writing it contemporaneously. So I went to a writing retreat in Alpine. I hired a developmental coach. I did all this work, and in about maybe 2013, 15, I threw it in a drawer. I wrote three more books, and then I pulled it out about 2 years ago to rework.
Now, I have had the feeling of my characters sort of reintroducing themselves to me, where all of a sudden I'll be thinking about a book that I put away or a story that I was not working on for, you know, months or years, and all of a sudden those characters started speaking to me. Did you feel like that was happening to you?
No, not really. It's just I had spent so much time on the book. And I thought, and it was complete. I mean, and it had been through so many edits and developmental edits, but I pulled it back out, and I am a better writer for it.
That's great. Yeah, I can imagine, you know, after writing three other books that you'd come back and see it with some fresh eyes. So which of the characters in this latest book of yours do you identify most closely with?
Oh, it has to be Lisa, the main character. Yeah, of course.
You talk about women's fiction and how the protagonist is a different person at the end of the book. She is absolutely a different person by the end of this book, for sure. Did you feel like you needed to make any changes, like since there were so many years between when you started the book and when you were getting it ready this time? Did you feel like there were changes that you had to make to it? I know it was set in 2008, but just in terms of the writing level that you were at now versus then, or even just things in the world?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things that I learned to add, to put in smells and the feelings of their body, maybe they quiver, maybe they do this or that, the other, that came in. I attended a Donald Moss workshop, and I have a talisman in it, which is the Rolex, okay? And so from his coaching, I decided to add the Rolex as part of the story.
Oh, I loved that. Yeah, you could definitely see how that played throughout the whole story. Definitely. Do you think if you wrote the book 10 years from now that it would be the same book?
No, because the technology has changed. That's what really freaked me out. I pick it up, and it's 2022, and I go, oh, wait a minute. Did they have this technology then? What was it, a Volvo then? My mind's blown because I'm scared I'm going to make a mistake and put technology in that wasn't there.
Right. Yes, that is true. With the lightning speed that technology is happening, you wouldn't think that a 2008 novel would feel like historical fiction, but with the way technology is working, that is for sure. So what is it that brings you the most joy when you're writing?
I think I inherited from my mother to be a storyteller, and I love to tell stories that have a point in it that maybe help people think about things or grow and change. You know, that's my big deal. I have messages.
Yes, you do. So when I read your intro, it talked about how you have a series, Warriors for Equal Rights, and that you explore what matters in life. So what would you say is the through line between all of your novels?
It's about getting along human beings being compassionate, understanding. I don't know, my Warriors for Equal Rights, I could tell things about employment discrimination that would bore everybody, but when I put it into a story and you see the lives of the people that are, how they're affected, and this is funny because even investigators have their own biases and prejudices, so they're dealing with that while they're dealing with other people's biases and prejudices. You know, my idea is to make people think.
So you said that your current book, Tough Trail Home, is based in the area where you live. One of the things that I felt when I was reading that book, and maybe it's because I have a child, my last child is about to leave home, but I felt like I wanted to live there. It sounded like just the whole story of how her whole life changes by meeting the locals and other people who have come from different parts of the world to this place. So do you base your characters on people that you know? This happens to me a lot. I'll meet somebody and I will make up an entire story, like backstory for them. Even though, you know, once I get to know them, it has nothing to do with their backstory. But you know how first impressions are. So do you have any people, will people recognize themselves in this book?
Oh, no, people will not recognize themselves. I'm very careful about that. I may take a little piece of a person and use that, and just characters like Andrew, the son, I really didn't model him on anything, although, I mean, I have three teenage grandsons, but they don't behave like Andrew. I take things that have happened. For instance, we have the marijuana farm there in the country. We really did have a marijuana farm in Fayette County. And one of my friend's husbands is a retired Houston cop who volunteers for the county sheriff, and he told me how the marijuana farm would look. I haven't seen it, but I know what it looked like by talking to him.
Yeah, I felt like your book was very city slickers, kind of people out of their comfort zone. Do you have an experience where you've met people that are clearly out of their element in out in your in the country where you are?
Well, I would probably say I was kind of out of my element when I moved here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I lived most of my adult life in Houston, Texas. But I love nature. I was a big Girl Scout. And so I remember one time before we moved here permanently, we had a little trailer. And I spent the night in it. And I had to go to San Antonio, which is about 2 hours away, to a conference that attorneys were putting on employment law. And so I walk out into the middle of the wilderness, dressed up in my suit, you know, and my shoes, like I'm going, okay, they're getting dew on them. I mean, this is just bizarre. It's just like I move from one setting to another. A lot of the experiences, I learned so much about everything from mesquite to the cows. I didn't know any of that. So I, in a sense, was a city slicker.
Yeah. Well, it came through in your book for sure. So we like to ask where people can find you. So I know you have a website. I imagine that might be possibly the best place to find you.
MarieWatts.com/books, or I'm at all the big booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Yeah.
And then we always like to end with the same question. Believe it or not, we're ending already. It's been 15 minutes. What book or story inspires you the most?
You know, Les Miserables by Victor Hugo has just stuck for me forever. I've never seen the play, never seen the movie. I only read the book.
So what was it about that book that inspires you?
He captured the human spirit, the human longings, the just humanity in it. It's just stuck with me forever.
Well, Marie Watts, it was fast, but it was very lovely to talk with you, and I so enjoyed your book. I hope everyone goes out and everybody else can learn about mesquite, just like I did. Thank you so much for being here.
I appreciate it. I really had fun.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you take a second to give us stars or a review on your favorite podcasting platform, and we'll be here again next Wednesday. follow us on Instagram at Author Express Podcast to see who's coming up next. Don't forget, keep it express, but keep it interesting.